Sometimes you want to take notes and you don't have a writing utensil, like me this morning in church, so that was awkward. So anyway, there's some pens up here now, and hopefully this thing will work properly. Alright, so really quickly some announcements while you're all paying attention to me, and then we'll play some game, and then there's snacks, not to worry. I'll spread them out, so there's space this time, and then we'll have our lesson, and we will be done. All right, so some announcements to know. Who's going on the fall retreat? That's what I'm talking about. I am so excited for the fall retreat. I am going on the fall retreat, so is Pastor Justin. Well, so is all the youth ministry team. But Pastor Vashik, who's here now, and they were at church this morning, and you were at church this morning, and Lita, holy cow, can that woman sing. That was awesome. She's going to be on the retreat too. But this is my first fall retreat in like 5 years that I'm not teaching at the fall retreat. So that means I get to go and just get to hang out with you guys. So I'm super excited about that. If you are going on the fall retreat, make sure you watch your email. You can tell your parents to watch for an email. We are going to meet at the main campus on Friday, okay? You don't want to be late, because if the bus is leaving and you're pulling in, your parents are just going to have to drive behind the buses. So don't be late to the church. All that information, packing list, all of those things will be out in an email. It came out last week. It'll be sent again this week. So with that, since we're on the fall retreat, the majority of us are on the fall retreat, and all of the pastors that are associated with the youth ministry are on the retreat. Sunday next week, if you are not on the fall retreat, there is no youth services here on the fall next weekend. Make sense? Because there won't be a bus to the EC. So you could walk here or get dropped off, but you're going to be by yourself. The games will not be on, the doors will be locked. It will be a sad, sad hour that you spend in the hallway. So don't come here next week, but if you're going on the fall retreat, be at the main campus on Friday. Also, so this coming Wednesday, coffee house starting at 3, and then small groups at 6:45, so from 3 o'clock onward, you can be here. That's this Wednesday. Then we go on the fall retreat. The following Wednesday is Connect Night. So the normal 6:45 to 8:15 Connect Night. Instead of like small groups and me talking, we're going to come in. We're going to have a big group game set up. You can play. You don't have to play. It might involve some technology and racing and some fun things. And then the big thing that you guys need to know with that, this is really important. You can win prizes if you come in costume. You do not have to dress up as anything. You can come dressed like this. You can come dressed like me. That's a good costume. But that, I haven't decided all the categories yet. I probably should do that. I'll do that before Wednesday so that I can tell you guys. But we will do like a prize for the most creative. So like if you make your own Halloween costume compared to buying it. Right? Anybody can go out and buy a Halloween costume, but if you make it, that's pretty creative. Other things like that. So, surprise. No surprise. What am I thinking? Halloween costumes. Dress up Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday. If you come this Wednesday in costume, we'll probably just laugh at you. So Wednesday after the fall retreat. Then the other thing to know about, because it's coming up really fast, even though it's the middle of October, the first Sunday in November is snack. And it's going to be at the grocer's farm. Okay? From 6 to 8 p.m. Show up, bring $3, help cover food and activities. It'll be a great night in a barn. On a farm. It's going to be awesome. So that's coming up. Two other things that you guys need to, well, three really, but art gallery. If you are interested in submitting your art, whether that's photography, painting, drawing, whatever it is that you do to express yourself artistically, you need to submit an application by the day we come back from the fall retreat. So October 23rd is the deadline. If you do not turn in an application to submit your work by the 23rd, you cannot submit work for the gallery. That's an art gallery. Awesome things. And then the other thing, the last thing that you guys should know about, if you're interested in volunteering, whether you need hours for like school, honor society, or whatever it is you do, or you just want to serve because, you know, that we're kind of called to do that, there's two opportunities right off the bat. Family Fun Fair is coming up. If you would like to volunteer during the Family Fun Fair, right outside this door, there's a table. On that table is a sign-up sheet, all right? So you can sign up there. That will get to where you need to go. And if you are interested in raking leaves, yes, raking leaves for seniors, citizens, not seniors in high school, but senior citizens here at New Hope, talk to Tracy Moss, Amanda's mom. She will be out in the hallway after church. So if you are interested in raking leaves for, you know, to serve the church, serve people in the church, awesome, awesome thing to do. And you get to jump in the piles when you're done, so win-win. Those are the things that are coming up. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Am I doing any? What? Oh, I'm sure I will be there. I don't know what I'm doing, though. Yes. What? No!
Why?
It's volunteer! Hence the volunteer! Yes. Guys, I can't hear. Yes. What is the Family Fun Fair? Sophia. Yeah. It's for first through fifth grade. It's for them. But you get to go and participate if you sign up to volunteer and stuff. Or if you have a younger sibling, you can go and do it with them. But essentially, it's kind of a night where we open up the church and they can get candy and do all that stuff without, like, walking around trick-or-treating, so it's a little safer, and then people don't, like, you know, get weird things. Does that make sense? Okay, that happens over at Bank Campus. What was your other question? You had two questions. Can all ages, yes, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade can come to snack. You don't even have to be, if you don't come on Wednesdays normally to like small group and stuff, you can still come to snacks. You can still come on Wednesday nights and we'll plug you in and get you hooked up in a small group. But with snacks are set up so that you guys invite friends, people who don't go to Wednesday night small groups can come and connect and they can bring friends. You're always welcome to bring friends. That's what we want you to do. So, any other questions about anything going on, life in general, why the world turns clockwise? Or does it? Why do people breathe? Oxygen. No, that's water. Don't breathe water. Bad things happen when you breathe H2O. Alright, so if there's no other questions, we're going to start with a game. It's a game slash activity. Because each group will be competing against the other. The winning group gets to get their snack first. Now here's the deal. No. You need to get into groups of 5 to 6 people. Right? 5 to 6 people. Once you have 5 to 6 people, sit down on the floor. You can have more, but it's not in your advantage to have more. If you do not have a group of 5 to 6, come see me up front. Hey, would 2, 4, okay, you got 5, 2, 4, 6, okay. We need one more up front here. One more, who wants to go with the girls? We need one more. Well, but now they're a group of 2, 4, okay, that's fair. Then you all have groups of 5. It's okay. All right, 2, 4. You wanna play? Anybody else? You guys are not playing? Okay, all right, so here's the deal. All right, now here's the deal, guys. You need 5 or 6. Now you need to find a place. You can move chairs around if you need to. Find a place where you can stand in a circle with just your group. Facing each other in the circle.
My guy's back here.
No boxing. Then, don't beat up students. Okay, that's how we get fired. Well, I get fired. You can take my job. All right. You're doing a great job of getting guys in the back. I said when you get in your group, sit down. Don't stand up on the chairs. And then you're facing each other in circles. All right. Now here's the deal. You guys have probably tried to do some version of this. Maybe you've done it successfully. What you are going to do... No, okay, so here's the deal. When you stand up, wait until I'm done with the instructions. When you stand up, you're going to close your eyes. You're going to spin around, you're going to spin around one time, close your eyes. So close your eyes after you spin around, all right? That's just to disorient you, because then you're going to reach your two hands into the middle of the circle and grab somebody else's hands, all right? Now, here's the deal. This is called the human nut. You're on top of this. So then, once you have done that, once I say go, it's up to you guys to stand up, spin around, close your eyes, reach out and grab hands, all right? As soon as you do that, as soon as everybody has a hand in each hand, all right, you got to figure out, without letting go of each other's hands, how to get back in, how to untangle yourselves. No, you can open your eyes once you've grabbed hands. All right, last time, when you stand up, you're going to spin around, you're going to close your eyes, you're going to put your hands into the middle of the circle. All right? Put your hands in the middle circle. You grab somebody else's hands. Whoa! Sit down. I said when I say go. I didn't say go. But go. Keep your eyes closed. Grab somebody's hands in your circle. Once you all have a hand, so there's an even number of hands. Every hand should have a hand. Does everybody have a hand? Nope, that doesn't work. Once everybody has a hand, you work together. You won. Alright. You two do it again. See who wins. You guys get to go first. That's not stupid. You did it? The girls at the front were first. I know. But you guys can try one more time if you would like. Because I gotta get the snacks out. Well, Jess has gotta get the snacks out. Is anybody still working on their knock? Wait, the girls get to go first. They get their two cookies. Only take two cookies. There's also a lemonade. Two cookies to start. All right? Once you have your two cookies, if you want to drink, get a drink. Grab an orange sheet of paper for your announcements and / taking notes. Then come back and grab a seat and be quiet. You can talk right now, but once you get your... It all tastes the same. Did anybody send me a peanut butter cup cookie? I love peanut butter cups. Mm. downside to having a microphone is when I start talking. You guys took too many cookies? I'm sorry if there's no more cookies. Get your drink, sit down. Sometimes it's just not fair. Ooh, maybe I counted wrong and only got enough for one person. So one cookie per person. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'll get more cookies next time. But on the bright side, there is lemonade. And if we run out of lemonade, we can always make more. But we've never actually used all lemonade, so please don't run out of lemonade. Because I really don't think I want to make more. Alright guys, we gotta get started, so you got 2 minutes to get your stuff and get seated. Ooh, I kinda like sitting. Should I stand? Because when I stand, I go back and forth. I should sit. Well, you can always move back. I can't really move. This doesn't go any lower. Oh, yes it does. Ah! I lied. There we go. Eye contact the whole time. I gotta move this over because the coffee's there. Well, this is more fun though. You live on the edge. Because if it falls, it's gonna spill all over my shirt. No, it's okay, but thank you. So guys, this morning, this has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but this morning, I got out of bed and I got dressed and I came to church because I come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, come here, go through the lesson, get ready, and then I went and I helped my wife get her daughters out of the car, and I picked up Balin, who's 3, and I don't even know what it is, but I got black stuff on my shirt now, and I wasn't there when I got dressed this morning. And then, when we were doing the whole dedication thing, I was holding Sage, and she kept biting my trap right there, my shoulder. It's cute, but when she decides to actually bite down, it hurts. And then you're standing like, ouch, you know, so. Anyway, that was the story of my morning. What did you guys, was human not easy? Was the human not easy? Why was it easy? It wasn't easy. You work together. So let me ask you guys this. If, guys, it's my turn now. If somebody in your group, or most of the people in your group, started the game and said, you know, this is kind of cool, but I just really don't care, and I'm just going to stand here and see what happens. Do you think you would have gotten untangled very easily? No, but, like, when you guys, like, the group up here that won, that did it in, like, 30 seconds, which I was planning on this taking at least 5 minutes, so you guys are going to have some free time at the end of the day, but they were committed to getting out of their knot. Like, they all worked at it. It wasn't like some of them decided, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And some of them were like, oh, I'll just wait and see what happens, right? They were all committed to getting it done. Let's keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Is anybody going to open us in prayer? Okay. Sophia, open us in prayer. Thank you. So guys, I love my mom. She's pretty awesome. Her name is Kim. She was born and raised with a different last name because when you get married, you change your name as a female, normally. So she became Kim Kimmel. K-I-M-K-I-M-M-E-L. Yes, that's my mother. Anyway, that has nothing to do with her. Actually has everything to do with her. That's who she is, Kim Kimmel. But my mom, as awesome as she is, has this thing. She's allergic to shellfish. Shellfish. When you say that really fast and a lot of times, it runs together. It's really hard to say shellfish. Shellfish like shrimp, lobster, scallops, all of these things. She loves these things. She loves to eat these things. However, if she eats them, her throat begins to swell up. It becomes really hard to breathe. It gets really scary. Just not a good thing. And so my mom decided, you know, when she discovered that she was severely allergic to shellfish, not to eat shellfish. Now, she made a commitment to not eating shellfish, right? So she's fine. Like, if we go out to eat and there's shellfish on the menu, she doesn't order shellfish. Makes sense, right? Now, what if, just as a thought, what if my mom was somewhat committed to not eating shellfish? So, like, anytime she eats shellfish, her throat swells up, she can't breathe, she has to go to the hospital. Bad news, right? So, like, what if she's like, but I love lobster, macaroni, and cheese so much, I'm going to eat that once in a while. Like, if that was her mindset, it's really sad to say this, but she'd probably be dead. Like, that it's pretty extreme. Bad, big, extreme thing. Like, if she's partly committed to, like, avoiding this thing that she's allergic to, it could have horrible consequences. But when she's fully committed to it, she's fine. Right? Or, like, think about it like this. Like, if you're dating somebody, or, like, I'm married. So, like, if you have a significant other in your life, and you're 99.9% faithful to them, but one time somebody cheats on the other person, we say, like, oh, that's horrible. They're not committed at all. Right? That commitment's gone because they weren't fully committed. They might have been committed at one point, but they weren't fully committed the whole time. Or, like, squirrels. Right? Squirrels, there would be a lot less dead squirrels in this world if they just committed to crossing the street. But instead, they scamper out there and they go, and they're dead, right? Like, just watch on the side of it. It's sad. We have Jess back here who hits him in the foot. I'm just kidding. It's true. But it's not the driver's fault most of the time. Like, squirrels are like, no commitment, right? Commitment issues. I tell you those things because I want you guys to think about commitment in the realm of, like, you know, last week we talked about being committed to the gospel. And we talked about it as being sold out committed. Like, if we're not sold out committed to, like, not eating things we're allergic to, or crossing the street when there's a car coming, and not crossing the street when a car's coming, like, it can have horrible, horrible implications on our lives. But the same thing can be true, like, if we're not sold out committed to the gospel, we're not really living out the gospel. It's like, oh, okay, well, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I want to follow him, so that means I'm going to, you know, trust him to help me not sin and change my ways and be a changed person, but, like, I really like this one thing, so I'm going to keep doing this, even though it's bad. Like, we just don't fully understand forgiveness and grace in the gospel. And so when we're sold out committed to the gospel, it's changing our lives. But there's something else that the Bible tells us to be sold out committed to. It's related, but it's different. So we're sold out to the gospel, but we're also sold out committed to one another, to community. Right? We actually see this commanded to us in the Bible. Right? We are called to be committed to each other. We're called as followers of Christ to be committed to Christian community, also known as the church. Who knew? Right? Christian community, we have that here in this room. And on Wednesday nights when we go into small group times, that's another form of Christian community. When we gather at big church for church, that's community. We're experiencing community. We're worshiping God together. We're gathering together to encourage one another, to talk about Jesus, to help us know more about him, to follow him. And we're gathering together to worship him. We get to worship him in song. We get to worship him in opening his word and talking about what the Bible says. And all of that stuff, God's calling us to be committed to it. And not committed like, well, I might do this, I might not, but like sold out committed. That's what God's calling us to. There's actually a passage in the Bible that talks about being committed like this to community. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, so if you have your Bibles or your app, you can open the Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 19. But what's awesome about this passage is it walks us through the model that we've been talking about, how Jesus changes us individually, and then we come together as a group of people who have been changed, and so we as a group are changed by God, and because of that, we're not looking at ourselves, we're looking outwardly, we're focusing on changing others' lives, right? And so when we read this passage, see if you can pick up on that stuff. And then the passage ends with this idea of being committed to one another. So we're going to read it. We'll walk through it really quickly. We'll apply it. And then we should be done with 5 to 10 minutes left so you guys can have some free time to hang out in Christian community. Cool? All right. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. I'm going to read that now. So it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, for not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." Did anybody track with that and pick up anything when they said? You can't hear? I'm right here. So let's walk through this and see if you guys can pick up on that. So in verses 19, 20, and 21, right, the writer of Hebrews is saying, we can enter God's presence with confidence because of what Jesus' death and resurrection accomplishes for us. Jesus is our high priest. He takes us into the Father's presence. Does anybody know what a high priest does? Okay. Yeah, so she said he's the most connected to God. In the day that we're talking about the high priest, that's correct. Once a year, he goes in to God's presence to atone or to ask forgiveness from God for people's sins. That's right, too. So this passage talks about Jesus being our high priest. So before the cross, before what we know as Christianity, right, there was Judaism. And inside of Judaism, there's still Judaism, but inside of Judaism in this time, there was a high priest. And this high priest was thought to be the most connected to God. He was the guy that could enter in to the center of the temple. It was called the Holy of Holies, where nobody else could go because we weren't pure enough, right? And it was only after this guy offered all of these sacrifices and sprinkled the blood of these animals and all of these things, it was really gruesome and weird. It was only through that that he could then enter into this place in the middle of the temple. And that was where he went in and he met with God and he asked forgiveness for the sins of the people. He was the high priest. And the Bible is saying that Jesus is our high priest. He takes us into the presence of God. He goes into the Father's presence for us and offers us forgiveness. And it came through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a lot of you know this. But did you guys know that in the Bible, in the Gospels, when Jesus dies, does anybody remember the verses that talk about how when Jesus dies, the curtain in the temple was torn in two? Does anybody remember that? That curtain that was torn in two was the curtain that separated the general people from the Holy of Holies. And so what happened when Jesus died was like a legit symbol of like, hey, we get to walk into God's presence. We don't need a high priest to go before us. We don't need somebody else. It's great when somebody else prays with us and does those things, but we can walk into God's presence confidently. And that's what he's getting at. And so we see the us in this passage, or the me in this passage. Like we are each saved by Jesus and able to enter God's presence on our own. Do you guys see that so far? Okay, so then we move to 19 and, or no, we're in 19 through 20. And 29. So in 22, we see because of this access that we have to God, because of the forgiveness that we have in him, we're to draw near to him with a heart full of assurance. What the heck does that mean? Anybody have any idea what a heart full of assurance means? No? Okay. So think about it kind of like this. Our sins have been washed away by Jesus. Jesus says that we are forgiven. If we accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers us, our sins are forgiven. And think about from the time that Genesis chapter 1 starts, which is thousands of years before Jesus ever walks this earth, and we've been here for thousands of years after Jesus walks this earth. And in that whole time, every promise that God has made to his people, that would be us, has come true. Has been accurate. Assurance simply means like having confidence, like not doubting that God is really forgiving you and working for you. So having assurance of your faith, we come to God with hearts washed clean and a clear conscience that our sin is no longer held against us. And what this verse is getting at, I think is really cool. Has anybody in here been baptized? Yeah? Awesome. So baptism, a lot of you would know this, baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. So when we come to Christ, we inside die to our old self, die to our desires that we would say are worldly, and we choose Christ. We're given a new life in Christ. Right? And when we are baptized, when we're lowered into the water, it's a symbol of us dying to ourselves. Right? We're dying with Christ. We're being raised to life with Christ. And as the water washes over us, it's a symbol of the sins washing away from us, and we're made new. And we are brought up out of the water to new life. That's the symbol of baptism. And that's what verse 22 is talking about. It's talking about how we put away our old desires. But more so than that, baptism is a public statement of this inward happening. And so this is the start of a shift from the me and us to others. But it's also a shift that happens inside of the church. And so it's about us. Right? When we come together as people made new by Jesus, we're a group of people made new by Jesus. So the change in our lives is noticeable. You remember that way, like 6 weeks ago, we talked about how when Jesus changes us, it's a change that should be noticeable. When that change happens and we gather together, we're a group of people who have been made new by Jesus, and we should be impacting the world around us. Right? Does that make sense? You guys still tracking with what I'm saying? All right. So we have this me change, which equates to an us change. And then we start thinking about others. But thinking about others is really hard. Does anybody in here wake up every day thinking about how to like love others and show them Jesus' love? Some of you? That's awesome. I stink at it, and I'm a pastor. It's hard. But this is why we are commanded to gather together, to focus in specific times about us so that we can go out and focus on others. Right? So God's word, the ending of Hebrews chapter 2, the ending of these verses, the four verses that we're going to look at, 24 and 25, those are two verses, not four. They tell us to hold, we're told to find ways to encourage one another in continuing loving each other, engaging in good works as a result of God's love for us. We're supposed to get together and encourage each other, build each other up to go out and do that. Does that make sense? Why might we need encouragement to do that? It's hard. I already said that. You got anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, it is hard. But when we gather together, when you're with other people, isn't it a little easier to do something you're uncomfortable with when you're not doing it alone?
Yeah.
Do you guys know that nowhere in the Bible does God call us to live the Christian life alone? We're called to gather together. The guy who writes Hebrews writes this in such a powerful way that when we read it in English, it doesn't really have the same impact. So in verse 24, it says, let us consider how to stir up, or 25, just skip ahead, 25, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing. So he's writing telling us not to stop getting together. He's telling us to get together. And he uses this wording because like it's not him saying, hey, it would be a good idea if you guys got together regularly and hung out, but if you can't, if you're busy, if you have plans, like, it's okay. Like, he's legitimately saying, if you give up gathering together and encouraging one another in Christ to go out and impact the world, you are, like, recklessly abandoning God's people. Like, if you were to read that in Greek, I'm not going to even go into that with you guys because you will be bored out of your minds, but if you would read that, in the way that it's worded, it's a powerful command of, hey, do not stop meeting together because it would be horrible for you in your walk with God. Because if you think about it, if everybody inside of the body of Christ decided to stop gathering together and encouraging one another, church would look pretty bad. It would look pretty blah. It probably wouldn't be very effective. But when we gather together and we encourage each other to remember how Jesus has changed our lives, and we talk about, as a group, how Jesus has changed us as a group, individually and as a whole. It starts to build this like fire inside of you to see other people know these things, know Jesus, to know forgiveness and the hope and joy and faith and life that comes when you're forgiven by Jesus. Right? This is why, as Christians, we are commanded to be committed, sold out, committed to Christian community, the church. Right? So, us being committed to the church is a big thing. But being committed to the gospel, without Jesus, none of this happens. Right? Without Jesus, what we do, what we're living for, our lives on this earth are pointless. But we don't often think about living for Jesus in that light. We think about it as something we do on Sundays and we're told, like, hey, we should go live for Jesus. But do you guys realize that the same God who made you made the earth, and the same God who made you left heaven to die on a cross for your sins, and that he rose again from the grave for you, also that we can spend eternity in heaven with him? He wants you that badly. He gave up everything. And when we start to frame our lives in light of that, in light of the gospel message, it changes things. And we realize outside of Christ, no matter what we do, is pointless. But inside of Christ, everything we do is purposeful. And it has meaning. And it has reason. And when we start thinking about life that way, that's how the gospel changes everything we do. Think about homework in the light of the gospel. The fact that our homework has purpose and meaning, and we can show Christ's love through how we do our schoolwork, or how we interact with other people, friends, people who aren't our friends, family members. All of those things are opportunities placed in our lives to live out the gospel and impact the world around us. But if we're trying to do that all on our own, we're going to fail. We need Christ and we need community. That's why we are called to be sold out, committed to the gospel and to Christian community. Does that make sense? You guys track with me? You get it? All right. Do you guys have any questions? Awesome. So when we gather together, this is it. We'll be done. You'll have a few minutes to hang out. So when we gather together, it should be our desire to encourage one another in love, to continue loving each other, and to continue loving those around us, and to engage in good works, meaning volunteer, service, loving on other people through our actions. Okay? Those are the things that come out of this time together, because we are focused on Christ and the gospel. Okay? When we gather together to worship our God, we're a group of people who have been radically changed by God, thanking him and praising him for that, and seeking to go out from here and live radically different than the world around us, so that they might know the hope and joy and love and purpose that comes from living out the gospel. And that's why we gather together. Not just because the Bible tells us to, but because it's legitimately the best thing for us to live out the life God's calling us to. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for the way that you have designed us to be relational, to be in community with one another, to mimic the life that you have showed us, to share this life with others, to share the burden of life that comes with you and with others. God, I pray that you would help us to walk in your ways and to encourage one another, both this day as we hang out for a little bit, but also as we go out from here, God. Would we not stop meeting together? Would we not stop encouraging one another to live out the love that you have shown us and called us to? God, I pray that as we do these things, that it would be not about us, but that it would be all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, really quickly. Whoa. We have 7 minutes until 12:15, so we need to be respectful of the senior hires in the room over here. So if everybody can put their chair away, and then do not go through the double doors by the ping pong tables. Please put your chairs away before you leave.